Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. Also, you can find us on YouTube as well. Just search ESPN Chicago, and we are always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that app. Take us wherever you go. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Aki, and we talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. Mike, you're out at our great friends Fox Bend, their course today. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Tyler, and good morning, everybody in Chicago. I can't believe it's already August. I mean, we started this show at the Rosemont Convention Center when it was cold, snowy, and here we have one of the most glorious Saturdays in August. And you know what time of the season it is? It's Olympic golf. It's our major championships, our club championships, our Ryder Cup events. It seems like August seems to be the culmination of a lot of big events in our socially competitive worlds, but obviously the world's greatest are on the highest stage in the world over in Paris. And I got to tell you, we got some exciting golf going on over there right as we speak.
Right. They are underway and pretty much through. They're on the final third of their games right now, of their matches right now. And at Le Golf National, and John Rahm, your leader, he's had himself a nice day today at 4-under through 13. He is your one-stroke leader right now in the third round, as he is 13-under for the day, or 13-under for the tournament. Tommy Fleetwood and Xander Schauffele each at 1-under. They've been neck and neck throughout this tournament. And then Nicolai Hogarth is your low man of the day so far. He's already in the clubhouse with a 62 9-under to vault himself up 26 spots for a tie for fourth with Hideki Matsuyama. So the Olympics, how do you feel about Olympic golf, Mike? Because a lot of these guys, they're coming from all over, especially now with LIV. They're coming from all over. They're convening in France for this international tournament. And for a lot of these guys, you're talking about going from the Scottish Open into the British Open, and now just a couple weeks later, you've got the Olympics. So it's been a lot of golf over across the pond lately.
It really has. And, you know, I love what they've done with the Olympics and golf and trying to get the sport on the highest stage so that the average, you know, sports fan can see how great the game is in various parts of this world. But I have to tell you, I think they missed on a lot of different points where they really could have showcased the sport in a more creative, fun, maybe even a team aspect. And I think that's the thing that I'm missing more than anything, because we have a lot of country pride going on with the Olympics. I mean, we all are passionate about where we live, where we were born, where we come from, our ancestors, and all of that. And it's feels a little like just a regular tour stroke play event. There's nothing unique or different about it. And I just feel that the Olympics are so very, very different in that this event, if you finish fourth, it's like finishing last. You either get in the first, second, or third, and you actually, you know, won or achieve something. Finishing fourth is no different than finishing 12th. I mean, it's just you didn't medal. And you know, so now it gets down to that question: how important is a gold medal to these golfers versus a major championship? And I think on the surface, they would all probably tell you a major championship is really what I want. But when you get into these Olympics, there's something else that takes place here, and you can see how badly these guys all want it. And I think that there's room for a singles competition, of course, but I think we could have had more of the top 60 players in the world over there with an actual team aspect to it. Because I look at, let's say, track and field. They have relay races. They have pairs. They have, you know, they even have a mixed relay. In fact, the United States set the world record yesterday. Why don't we have mixed teams ourselves, or two-man teams, or, you know, if the United States has a larger number of players in the top 60 or top 100, then we should have maybe up to four two-man teams in the tournament and almost bracket it much like March Madness. And we might have a team in each, you know, each bracket or each side of the equation, if you will, where a country like Chile may only have Joaquin Niemann as their individual competitor. And that's okay, because there are some teams that only have two or three representatives for their whole Olympic team. So I kind of think that golf could have followed a little bit more of the Olympic sports that are traditionally there and applied it to golf and really showcased golf in a really fun, creative way with teams. And I would have loved to have seen a men and a woman together in a mixed championship so that we could have seen more of the stars around the world coming out to celebrate sport and to celebrate the Olympics.
I think you hit it on the head there with the team aspect of it. This does feel like a missed opportunity to create some sort of team aspect, to make it like a Zurich Classic, or to make it like a even like a Ryder Cup type of event here. Like, it does feel like a missed opportunity where you could have shrunk this thing down, gotten a couple of teams together, and made it more of that. Because you're right, this feels no different than your run-of-the-mill stop on the PGA Tour. It just happens to be played in France right now as opposed to the middle of Pennsylvania or Ohio. And I think that this would have been a cool opportunity. And the Olympics, like, to their credit, they're always adjusting and tinkering with things with their events. They're subbing sports in and out. They're changing up how they do some of these events. So I think that even if you did a little bit of both, maybe you had a, like, how many times do we see swimmers? They do a relay and then they do their own individual events where, all right, for a week you have the individual golf events and then for a week you have a team golf event.
Exactly. And in fact, you could be finishing up the singles competition tomorrow, and then they could be starting on Monday the team competition. And whether you decide, hey, I want to do both, or is that too much on my body? But it's almost like, you know, high school or college tennis. I mean, you have some guys that are singles players, and then you have your doubles teams.
Yeah.
And so as the United States golf team, they'd have to sit down and say, okay, who do we want to play singles? Who are our doubles teams? And
right.
Then each country could go back and say, well, the Zurich, we're going to use that. Whoever wins it Olympic year, that's one of our two-man teams. And that's how we're going to roll here in the United States. Now, over in, you know, Europe or the DP World Tour or any of these other tours around Australia, they can come up with their own ways to create their two-man teams. And I just think it would engage a lot more people, the casual fan, to get more engaged into golf and more specifically Olympic golf. And I think this is a great opportunity to really grow interest in the game worldwide. And I hope that the Olympic Committee is looking at this and getting their notes down, because when they come back to do the next Summer Olympics, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's LA, right? Isn't it LA?
Yeah, 2028
LA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think if they come to LA, we may have the best Olympic golf experience when they come to the United States in 4 years.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I wonder if, like, because I think the United States could maybe swing something like that too. And I think that it would be good to have, like you mentioned, kind of take it back to like your high school days where there's a doubles team and then there's the singles team on the tennis team. Like, you have guys that are tailored for different events. And I think you give a number of other players a chance to compete in these events. And I think it brings more eyeballs to it, because right now it's kind of like, yeah, there's stars over there from both tours right now, but it kind of feels like a weird mixed bag. It feels like a bad major almost to a degree.
Yeah.
Like John Rahm there, but Bryson DeChambeau not there.
Not there.
And it just, it feels odd to me. having the mix that they have of, yeah, there's a handful of LIV players that are playing over there right now, like Rahm, like Neiman, Abraham Anser. Like, there's a handful of guys there. But then it's you've got a bunch of the top players from the PGA Tour with Scotty, Rory, Hideki, Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele. Like, you have some of the top guys from the PGA Tour there, but then it's like it almost feels like one of those first couple of majors where the LIV guys were not playing in them. Remember those? Like the first major that didn't have Phil. It almost feels like that. It's missing something. And I can't really get behind all of it. Like, I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched a ton of the Olympic golf. I also feel like it's been a little bit neglected on the coverage as well. When you talk about the national, like when they're doing the little swing arounds and stuff like that, I feel like you haven't caught as much golf there, which is interesting to me, because especially when NBC is a golf partner and puts on a couple of majors each year.
No, I absolutely agree with you, and I would give the telecast piece of this Olympiad a thumbs down as far as golf. I think overall, Paris has done the most amazing setup that I've ever seen. I mean, to have that Eiffel Tower with the rings on it lit up at night, and you got beach volleyball sitting in, I mean, it's like
it's
a
incredible
postcard. But the golf, oh, it took me back. I feel like we're watching golf in the late 70s, early 80s. There's no shot tracer. The graphics are basic and boring. There's nothing like... I'm not seeing the same type of drone coverages that we get, whether you're watching LIV or the PGA Tour, CBS, NBC. It's a very down and dirty, basic telecast, and it's getting the job done. And that's about all I can say for it, because the telecasts that we're accustomed to seeing here in the United States, this is not matching up to it, in my opinion, in any way, shape, or form. So I find that it's a more difficult telecast to watch. I find that in the beginning, it's hard to figure out, how did our teams get selected? Most people, the number one question is, I have no idea why we have these guys and not those guys. And what happened, and why isn't this player in or that player in? And it is a confusing process if you really drill down and try to understand how they go about this to try to create some equity out there. But the problem that you have countries that just aren't as deep in talent as the United States or Ireland or Canada and some of these bigger countries. So as a result, you're going to have what I almost look at the field as broken teeth. It's kind of not real smooth. We've got players like, who? And then it's like you're scratching your head. Well, what happened to, Tiger, he doesn't play in this. And Bryson, well, that's a whole different situation. But then the question is, well, why does Joaquin get the play but Bryson doesn't?
Right.
And so are we truly getting the world's best at the Olympics? And the answer, in my mind, is no. But I think they could tweak the process so that we ensure ourselves of really seeing the very, very, very best at this sport, just like we're seeing Simone Biles doing her thing over in the gymnastics and the swimmer from France, was it Mochard or whatever?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
He's lighting it up. So
he's the one, he's like taking everything by storm. He's kind of like the next it thing for the Olympics.
Yeah, and then obviously we have Xander trying to defend a gold medal, which I find amazing, because his career and his season is just jetting skyward in a way that I keep shaking my head in utter disbelief that this guy is as clutch and as consistent as he's been of late. We have those token stars in there, but to me there is a plethora of players that are just simply not there, and I think it's a big miss for all of us, golf fans, sport fans, and the players themselves. And, you know, the one thing that has caught my eye more than anything are the amazing amount of tattoos that are out there with the Olympic rings on them now. Mm-hmm. To me, that is the ultimate drop the mic tattoo.
Yeah.
If you could put the Olympic rings on, and if I were to medal, I think I'd put those Olympic rings right across my forehead so that everybody asks me, why do you wear that? And then it's like, oh, let me pull this out and show you my gold medal. But it's just interesting to see the world's greatest players come to the top and how these, you know, you just look at the first few names and they're regular household names. And this leaderboard could be jam-packed with all of them if they would have had more of the best absolutely in Paris, you know, competing on this course. And it's been interesting, too, because remember, they're playing the same golf course that the Americans just got, you know, throttled by Europe in the Ryder Cup. They've changed the layout of the course. Clearly, when, you know, Nikolai Højgaard goes 31-31 today to shoot 62, the course is playing dramatically different than in the Ryder Cup. Because I've had a lot of people ask me this week, why are the scores so low? And it seemed like we struggled so mightily at the Ryder Cup. Well, the golf course was set up specifically to be very narrow, very difficult, a premium on driving the golf ball and not allowing that bomb and gouge game to come to life. So that's the ability of the home team, in this case Europe, to set the course up to favor their players, their team, etc. When they set this up for the Olympics, they had stroke play in mind, and they wanted to see birdies. They want to see, you know, stellar play. So the golf course is more typical as you would find it if you were going over there to play this week, next week, or in the following weeks.
Yeah. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of the guys among the leaders, Jon Rahm and Xander Schauffele. And I also want to throw an idea your way as well about kind of fixing up what we are seeing in the Olympics as well. All that coming up next. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Mike Gilligan out at Fox Bend Golf Course. I'm Tyler Rocky. We talk golf with you every single Saturday. Talking some Olympic golf with you. If you've got a thought on how you'd want to change it, are you upset with the way the game's been covered so far? 312-332-3776. It feels like golf is kind of being kicked to the side in a lot of NBC's coverage from what we've seen so far. But real quick, Mike, looking at the leaderboard, and you know what's funny? Like, for everything that we've sort of said so far about the Olympic and their golf, if we saw this leaderboard at a major or a PGA Tour event, if you were to pluck the LIV guys out, if you saw this leaderboard, you'd be really happy with it. I mean, you got Jon Rahm one right now. You've got Fleetwood and Schauffele a tie for second. You've got Scotty Matsuyama and Nikolai Højgaard tied for fourth. Rory seventh with Tomas Dietrich, Ludvig Åberg, Jason Day, Victor Perez, Joaquin Niemann, Tom Kim. Like, this is a good leaderboard so far. It just doesn't feel like the event has as big of a feel as what a major would have.
No, you're right about that, no doubt. And it is different in that regard. But what's interesting is, to your point, with a lot of these big names, that a lot of these guys are actually playing so well on what we consider moving day in a typical of, you know, PGA Tour event. I mean, you've got guys going 9-under, 5-under, 5-under, 7-under, 5-under, you know. But then you look at a guy like Hideki Matsuyama, and you're wondering, what's going on with him? He's only even today, as is Tommy and Xander, only 1-under. So it's funny how they kind of get their low rounds in, but trying to string this thing together and to keep pace now with everybody else. Because I think the mindset coming into an Olympic competition than your typical PGA Tour event when there is a cut. See, there's no cut, but they're actually not earning any money either in the way of a purse. They're playing for pride of their country.
Yeah, pride.
For a medal. And while that's all well and good, the strategy going into this is you can't start out too slow. You might be a little more conservative in your approach so that you don't You don't get cut in the first round, but you're not going to win the tournament in the first round, but you could certainly lose it. But here, you better put your foot on the gas pretty hard out of the box with this field that you just mentioned, because like we thought, great golf courses bring the cream to the top, and Le Golf National is no doubt one of them. And so look at the – it is. It's a heck of a leaderboard. And then you throw in a lot of who are these people, but maybe these are future stars that we'll see in the next few years. But, yeah, I agree. What a heck of a leaderboard that the Olympics is creating over the last, gosh, this round in particular. And it's just – it's amazing how – major championship, great golf courses tend to do this, but with a field of only 60 and not necessarily the 60 best in the world, it's good to see that the cream came to the top, but now we're trying to figure out where do the rest of these players all fit.
Right, and I kind of look at, too, the way that Jon Rahm's season has gone so far. He has really struggled on the LIV Tour. He started to play a little bit better, and then he really struggled in a lot of the majors so far, withdrew from the U.S. Open, too, did not have the finishes at the Masters or the PGAs that you would have expected. But then he goes out, performs fantastic at the Open Championship, and right now is your co-leader with Xander Schauffele, who the year Xander has had so far is incredible. I mean, you look at what Xander's done. He was the best player without a major to open the year. He goes out, wins the PGA, and then follows it up. And he's played fantastic in all four majors, by the way. But he wins the PGA, and then he wins the Open Championship a couple weeks ago. And it feels like a gold medal is just a cherry on top. And not just that, but he'd be defending his gold as well. So I think everything with Rahm and Xander, super interesting right now, and they're your co-leaders right now at 14 under with Tommy Fleetwood right on their heels. So I think that everything that we have seen from a golf standpoint at the Olympics right now, if this was a regular PGA Tour stop, it would be drawing major headlines, but for some reason it's just absolutely getting shelved away because it's the Olympics and it's not a traditional golf stop along the tour or a major or something like that.
And I would agree with you 1,000% there, and especially in the case of Jon Rahm.
Yes.
We're actually now seeing Jon Rahm basically re-mature in front of our eyes, I think, because he went over to LIV and was absolutely lost this spring. He has a great LIV event last week, wins it, and what I might add, in a very awkward fashion when his teammate missed a putt on the last hole to allow John to actually win his first LIV event. It's their second team title. But now the question was he going to parlay this? You know, a lot of players hit that peak, they celebrate, and then they have an off week. Jon Rahm is doing what Jon Rahm does. And when he starts to play consistently well and consistently, he puts it all together. And I think we've talked about this on previous shows. John is a guy that needs to play, I think, more golf, not less.
Needs structure.
Yes, exactly, structure. And I think he is now starting to get comfortable, finally, in his decision, where he is right now. And it's going to be interesting to see how he finishes the rest of his season on LIV. It's just unfortunate we don't have any more spotlights a la Olympics. We have no more majors. And he's not going to play in the President's Cup because he's a European, and they don't get to play in the President's Cup. So the rest of Jon Rahm's season is going to be over on the CW if you can catch it and see it. So that's the problem. And yet Jon Rahm, though, the 6 inches between his ears, he looks like he's in a great spot. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he were to win. But to your point, Xander is doing something that I didn't think he would have much of a shot at doing, and that's defending a gold medal. You got to wait 4 years. You got to put yourself in the position to be on the team, and then you actually have to go out and get the job done. And he's doing all of it, and he's doing it probably at a time of his career when his golf has never been more on and his confidence never been higher. So watching Xander yesterday just knocking in putts from 6, 7, 8 feet without any hesitation and or cause was just amazing. And I think that's the part that we watch this year. And I think Xander, you know, points back to that putt at Valhalla. That putt going in has made his career because he now knows he can do it at the highest stage under the most amount of pressure. He knows he can get it done. And that putt, and it reminded me like what Jack Nicklaus once said when he made that first putt to win his U.S. Open. He said it was the biggest putt of my life because then I knew I could do it forever. I think Xander's feeling that same feeling here at the age of 30. And I'll tell you, I'm the next few years, Xander Schauffele is going to make a lot of noise, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Xander actually passes Rory on the major list in a few years.
You know what's funny with Xander, too, with that putt, like you mentioned, at Valhalla, has, I really think, defined what he's become as a golfer in the sense that it seems like he's developed this killer instinct now. Even that putt that he had at Valhalla, like, that was a putt that he didn't try to, oh, like, feather and drop it in. He went for it. That thing came in with some power and authority. I mean, he was going back edge of the cup. He was not going to leave that putt short. If anything, he almost overcooked it. And maybe it could have had a little too much heat on it, and it lips out. But I think that he's developed this killer instinct. He's shown you now he can win in multiple ways. He can win as a leader. He can win as the, kind of this shark lurking in the water waiting for blood like he did at the Open a couple weeks ago. He's finding multiple ways to win now, and I think it's because of that killer instinct that he's developed, where before we'd see him with a 54-hole lead, and then we'd see him crumble. That was kind of his MO all of 2023. And now, in this major season, and including the Olympics, whether or not he goes out and wins or medals or whatnot, it doesn't matter. I think that the fact that we've found Xander Schauffele's ability to go out and be a killer on Sundays and not be afraid anymore. It feels like he's lost the fear in his golf game, and that's a really good spot to be in right now if you're Xander.
Yeah, 100%. When you are standing on the tee and you are brewing with confidence at their level, the game not only becomes fun, it just becomes a way of life for him now. And this is going to be the new Xander that we're, I think, going to see. And it's going to be amazing how he parlays. Whether he medals or not, he made a showing that is, I think, it reflects very well on trying to defend the gold, because he's been there the whole time, even if he doesn't even medal. But assuming that he does, how he parlays this performance when he comes back for the playoffs, because you're not supposed to use the Olympic performance in voting for player of the year. But let's face it, you turn around and win another gold medal, somehow in the voters, you've got to factor
that. Sticks in your mind, yeah.
It does. It's one of those intangibles, I think.
Right.
And while it may not be part of the formula, it's going to enter into everybody's thought process. And I think if he wins a gold medal, and if Scotty has a difficult day tomorrow, and then Xander turns around and lights up the playoffs, it's going to be quite a decision as who is the player of the year. And I think the easiest way to do it is go co.
That would feel like a cop out, but I get it. Like, and I see it from both angles too. Xander's got 2 wins so far this season. However, they are both majors. Scotty has a boatload of wins. I think he's got 5 or 6 right now.
6.
So he's got 6 wins right now on the tour. He's broken the money record, the earnings record. He broke it back in early June, I want to say. So Scotty has that, and I get it. There's elevated events and all that stuff that's really shifted the way that we look at earnings winners in golf now. But Scotty's had this historic season from a win standpoint, and he's looked unstoppable, and he does have a major under his belt as well. So I get it from that angle, too. It's just, I mean, you're looking at 2 guys that are putting together fantastic seasons, and now they're kind of going head to head, and that's why I think it would have been really cool if there was some sort of team element involved in the Olympics right now, because those guys could be looked at as teammates for this event as opposed to competitors against each other. And that's something I want to pick your brain on a little bit about how to maybe shift how we do Olympic golf moving forward. We'll do that when we return here on the CDGA Golf Show, this segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Aki, talking golf with you every single Saturday here on ESPN Chicago. And Mike, we've been keeping our eye on what's been taking place at the Olympics, and Jon Rahm has dropped one shot back, so that puts Xander Schauffele back in control of the lead right now by one stroke. Jon Rahm and what was that?
Xander just eagled. That's how.
Yeah, that's how he, because he was two back of Rahm, and then he eagled to get up to Rahm, and then Rahm
and
then just bogeyed. So yeah, it's been
he bogeyed 14.
Yeah, it's been back and forth along the leaderboard today. But yeah, so everyone pretty much wrapping up. They're in the final three or four holes of their day right now. So things starting to wind down over in France, but. I want to ask you about how to, like, we've been talking a little bit, feels like golf's been a little overshadowed in this event. What if this became, and maybe this goes against the spirit of what the Olympics are, but what if this became a continent type of deal where you're not representing your country necessarily, but you're representing your continent, and it turns into a more Ryder Cup sort of deal where, all right, you've got Team North America, Team Asia, Team Europe, Team Africa, Team South America, and you turn it into Team Australia, like you turn it into a continental event and you make it more of a Ryder Cup format.
You know, Tyler, I think that is probably the best idea I've heard all week, honestly, because when you consider the President's Cup that will be happening in Montreal, it's the rest of the world against the United States, less the 13 countries that make up the continent of Europe. Mm-hmm. So we don't ever really have a chance of putting the world pitted against the world.
Yeah.
And I think your idea is really a great one at that, because it would solve a lot of what we're talking about. And I think it would, you know, put a lot of countries together that maybe the Olympics will heal some issues between neighboring countries, shall we say, if you're in the same continent. But I think it would put players together that wouldn't normally be together. And I think it would be a lot of fun for people to rally around various players from different countries that make up their continent. I think it's a fantastic idea, because honestly, the Olympic rings represent the continents that are in play here, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, I think the Olympic rings represent the five continents that are in play here, I believe.
Okay, interesting.
I believe that is the case, but I could be wrong. I'm sure a caller out there has great Olympic lore knowledge, and they can clarify that, but I'll check the Olympic rings here.
Yeah, because like, I feel like it's too difficult if you were to make it just by country. Like, if you're not the United States or maybe like a couple other countries, it'd be really tough to field a true team to do an event like that. But if you were to do it by continent, then I feel like you can figure something out and you can put together a viable sort of competition there. Like Asia can't, or like Japan or Korea, they can't stand on their own in a competition like that. But if you put together Hideki Matsuyama and Tom Kim and Ben An and Minwoo Lee, like if you put all those guys together, then you have something there. I just feel like a lot of these countries probably couldn't stand on their own outside of the United States and then maybe like Spain or something like that to really put together a competition worth having.
No, I 1,000% agree, because again, that then helps situations like Joaquin Niemann in Chile, you know, and to your point, I'll tell you what, that the Asian, the Far East team would be really a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does give you pause as to, gosh, I wonder who would be the favorite to win this thing. But it would be great if Europe could be Europe, and then the President's Cup players have a chance to actually play against the Europeans in a, call it Ryder Cup match play, you know, passionate country, you know, type of, you know, arrangement, and fuel the fans and the patriotism and, you know, pride for your country and or your continent together. I think it would be something that LA should give a strong consideration to from a team aspect. You can always have the individual, but this would be, I think, a really cool way of really bringing a lot of the people and the fans together in a way that I think would be really, really cool to watch at a golf event.
I wonder how the public would perceive it, because like we've mentioned, the golf has not gotten a ton of buzz from an Olympic standpoint, but if you were to put it into something like this, maybe then it changes how we look at it. And I'd be intrigued to see how things maybe change in 2028, if they even change at all, because maybe it coming to American soil for the Olympics changes how it's looked at, because this country hosts so many different golf events every single week. So maybe it looks a little bit different. Maybe the infrastructure at a lot of these courses is set up to be a little more conducive. Maybe NBC puts forth a little more resources for it. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be perceived if it were to get some sort of change in 2028.
Well, I think there's been enough banter and discussion about this. I'm thinking internally there that I think they're taking notice, and I think that's been one of the biggest outcries is the lack of, you know, team aspect, when most of what we're doing at the Olympics involves a lot of teams. And yeah, you may have an individual piece, let's say on the, you know, a pommel horse, or, you know, on the, you know, the floor, the rings, but you are also then speaking up to an overall team. So you have a place, your individual performance affects the ultimate team outcome. And I think that's really where they've missed on golf this year. So I think LA is going to be a far better representation. I think once you put an event in the continental United States for a group like NBC, I think the golf coverage, you know, from a telecast perspective, will be hands and knees and shoulders way above what we're witnessing right now. And, you know, for the first 2 days, you had to go try to find it, you know, on the Golf Channel. But I don't know about you, but I couldn't find anywhere to stream it live, you know, to try to catch it while I was at the office at all in the morning. It's not been easy to follow, like a typical PGA Tour or even a major for that matter is. You know, you think now you really start to cherish things like the Masters app. To me, that Masters app, they should have had an Olympic app for us, you know, specific to golf or specific to anything. But those are the conveniences that we've grown to love and to come by, and how we, you know, consume our golf. And it's just different, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, there's just so much going on with the Olympics, and it's weird because, like, I'll go on the Peacock app, which is where you can get a lot of this stuff, and there's so many things that are just melded together. So, like, you're looking at three at a time. So you want to watch an event, and it'll say golf, badminton, and basketball. And it's kind of like, well, it's kind of whatever's on is what you're going to get out of those three. So you don't get a whole heck of a lot. Sometimes it's tough to really get all the stuff that you want out of it. So it's been a little problematic, but it's something that surely can change coming up here. So if you've got a thought on the Olympics, 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls and talk some more golf with you when we come back. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home to 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
To you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Aki with Mike Gilligan here, talking some golf with you. We've been discussing a lot of Olympics so far. If you missed any of it, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Just find us under the CDGA Golf Show tab or punch that into wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Mike, what has your golf week looked like so far? Because we're in August now, and August is kind of like the heads up, season's coming to an end. Maybe not as much anymore as it used to be. It used to really feel like that when you hit August. But now it feels like the season stretches out a couple extra weeks with the weather cooperating a little bit more. But what does August golf sort of mean to you as we get to this point in the season?
Well, for me, you know, you go back to the beginning of the year, and much like guys and girls that run in 5K and 10K races, they put certain dates on their calendar to train and try to look forward to a specific date, race, location, and all that. I do the same thing with golf, and usually August represents that month where the club championships, just like what's going on here today, is the Fox Bend Open.
Yeah.
It's the 36-hole club championship, and one person is going to be crowned the club champion and then be invited to the Champion of Champions that's traditionally played at Park Ridge Country Club in early October. So, you know, for me, it's finishing out events, such as right now I'm in the semifinals of actually the Fox Bend match play, and I'll have a match in 2 weeks on or 2 weeks from yesterday to try to get to the finals and win that. But otherwise, I look at, you know, there's a senior qualifier coming up at the end of the month for me. Now, typically, I may have played in this event or a championship somewhere out there. Unfortunately, right now, due to the show, I can't play while I'm on the show. So, you know, for me, August golf is trying to get ready for those last final events and qualifying for anything that might be in September. And by that, I mean your local Ryder Cup events, you know, this side of the locker room versus that side of the locker room, however your clubs do this. And then for us, we have the Illinois State Senior Championship in September. So I use August as a way to really start to get ready for the biggest events that are traditionally held for the end of the season, championships and all of that. So, you know, it's much of the same, but, you know, I just came off of an event last week at Sunset Valley, which was the North Shore Amateur. And again, one of those that are out on that calendar that you're trying to peak for. And, you know, for me, you got to start playing more tournament golf conditions while you're practicing. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned since trying to return back to some competitive golf, is that when you play with your friends and your friends are giving you a putt from 3 feet out, you know, you're glad to take it and you move on. But when you're in these events, yeah, even though it's your local club championship, you got to putt everything out. So in August, I make it a point to make sure that even if a putt is given to me, I still go ahead and putt everything out so that it is not an uncomfortable feeling when I walk into a tournament such as I did at Sunset Valley, where they double cut and rolled the greens, which they did here as well. They were the fastest greens I've ever played all year, was up at Sunset Valley.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. The very first hole, I hit it about 13 feet for birdie. And my next putt was 8 feet coming back. My next putt was 4 feet coming back.
Jeez.
Thankfully, I made it. So I avoided a four putt, birdied the next three of six, and, you know, ended up bogeying the last three or four to shoot 75 in my first round. But again, those little 8-inch, 12-inch, 22-inch putts were giving me fits because I hadn't trained enough about making every single one of those when I play, you know, with my, you know, friends on Sunday morning or whatnot. So I took my biggest takeaway was putting everything out for the rest of the year, so it's not an unfamiliar thing to do when you're trying to post a good score.
Yeah, I want to get the rest of your tips for a lot of these club championships or competitions that a lot of people may have coming up, so we'll do that after we talk with Lou Ramadani, who's going to join us next here on the CDGA Golf Show in 2 minutes. This segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN